the du'as that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, which are recommended for the different occasions, are indeed a means of getting to know our Allah and His perfect power and wisdom. And it is a means of strengthening our link with Allah. These du'as are made from the moment when we wake up. And we go to toilet until the point where we perform salah. So when a person wakes up, and we spoke about yesterday about making wudu, going to toilet, the sunnah procedure. If a person has been enabled to wake up before the crack of dawn, and then offer salah, the tahajjud salah, which is the supererogatory salah in the night. If one wakes up in time of fajr, then to make your ablution and to perform the fajr salah. Remember that there is an external or a seen aspect to wudu, and there's also an internal or a unseen aspect to the wudu. The seen aspect is that the limbs are washed, and every man does that. Just as the external washing takes place, so too the Muslim does it in compliance with Allah's command and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah. Allah creates. Allah creates for that person inside him a light and a spiritual awakening. This light of faith in the heart of the person, and that Allah grants a person the blessings of abiding to the sunnah. So in terms of the unseen aspect of wudu, it is undoubtedly there. And we can observe this, that from the point that if water is unavailable or its use is disallowed to a patient, the Sharia commands that person to perform tayammum, the dry ablution. What does a person do? He strikes the earth with their hands, which he then rubs on his face and arms. There seems in it to be no aspect of external cleanliness. Rather, you're dusting your face up, putting dust on your face. But the unseen aspect is that one grows a spiritual light in him, and the light, and this is the light of faith and iman. So obviously, merely external cleanliness is not the aim of wudu. Otherwise, Allah would not have prescribed tayammum. Allah would have made a wet towel obligatory to remove the dirt. That look, if it was only external, then there's no water. What you do is just make a towel wet and rub it on you or cleanse yourself in that way. But wudu is not about the external. Water would have removed the dirt, but tayammum brings dirt to the face. The message is clear that water and ablution are not the objectives. The real thing is to obey the command of Allah. When the command was to use water, it becomes a means of cleanliness, light and spiritual awakening. But when the earth was to be used, it became the cleansing agent for the soul and light within there. So the real objective is to purify the soul, not to wash the limbs. That is what we pick up from this important aspect. Sometimes people talk and they say that no, evolution is meant to observe external cleanliness only. They argue that washing the feet was necessary for the Arabs. Because their feet was dirty because of the soil. These days we wear socks and shoes, so our feet are clean and washed. At most, we don't need to wash the socks, we can just rub, maybe put pass a wet hand over it. People talk like this, and they hold a view that of this nature. Now let me tell you something, people who hold this view are ignorant of the inner dimensions of wudu. what we need to understand is that if a person, if a man forms the intention of making evolution perfectly, the aspect with regards to wudu is when you make that intention and you have the objective, that is when one gets its spirituality. If anyone makes evolution, becomes, breaks the wudu immediately, then what you'd think is that, look, there's no dirt that came on that person, so what's the use of making a fresh wudu immediately? There'd be no benefit to that because nothing has changed. What we understand it is a spiritual aspect of our deen. People imagine that purity and cleanliness are the same thing, that there's a difference between purity and cleanliness. They're different. Islam requires both purity and cleanliness. Only cleanliness will not do. That is which Allah and His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, described as pure is pure, and what they described as impure is impure, even if it appears to be very clean. The Quran says that the pig is impure. People who eat pork, rear pigs in a very clean and tidy farm, and a pig may look neat and clean, but the Quran says that it is impure from head to toe. Wine also, Allah has declared that wine is impure, just as urine is impure. Thus, no matter how beautiful it is bottled and certified to the pure of to be pure of germs or anything, it is not pure. Man cannot dispute Allah's verdict. If a drop of urine falls in a bucket of water, it will not mar its cleanliness. If anyone washes his clothes with it, they will be clean and bright, but according to Allah's command, they are not pure. He cannot offer salah wearing them. If a drop of urine falls on a garment and it is washed with water 3 times, then the garment is purified, though it may be unclean. It's not necessary that everything clean is also pure. Everything pure is also clean. There are two separate things. Both are demanded by Islam. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded the Muslims that on Friday they must obtain purity, make wudu, have a bath, wear pure garments, do these things to the best of their ability before going to the masjid. Must not wear dirty garments, lest anyone sitting next to him is an inconvenience. Thus Islam wants both things, and getting one does not mean that we cannot get the other. The Western non-Muslims seem to be very clean and tidy, and impress everyone with their so-called cleanliness. But if you peep into their lives, they have no idea of purity. After relieving themselves, they do not use water. Only the toilet paper suffices. They will fill water in a bathtub and sit in it with dirt and impurity on them. They use soap while sitting there, so the water is a mixture of impurity and soap. On the face of it, dirt is removed. One who is more concerned stands below the shower to wash themselves, but generally they come out of the bathtub, dry themselves, apply powder and cream, and come out of the bathroom. That is their standard of cleanliness. That is their standard. However, Allah has commanded Muslims to attain both things. That is, the method of istinja, to remove filth, is such that there cannot be a better way. You will never find among non-Muslims a means to obtain cleanliness after relieving oneself as found amongst the Muslim. It is Allah's blessing on the Muslims that He has commanded us to obtain purity and cleanliness. A Jew once taunted Salman al-Faris and said, "Allamakum nabiyukum kulla shay'in hatta al-kharai." How strange! Your Nabi has taught you everything, even going to the toilet. He's taught you that. And this Jewish man meant to object that he did not behold a Nabi to teach these things. Why should a Nabi be bothered about such insignificant things? And Sayyidina Salman al-Faris radiallahu anhu said, "Ajal, yes, we are proud that we are taught everything, even how to conduct ourselves in the toilet. For our Nabi is like a compassionate father to us. Parents teach their children these things. Thus the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that we must neither face the Qibla, our front or our back, while sitting in the toilet. He directed us to use 3 stones that were used in those times. But he also named the things with which we may make istinja and the things that we may not. Praise belongs to Allah who has given us the perfect religion." Praise belongs to Allah who has given us the perfect religion. So in short, Wudu, ablution, is not merely a means to clean the face and the hands. Surely body cleanliness is achieved. The one who makes ablution 5 times a day will not have dirt on him. But at the same time, ablution is a spiritual effort by which the unseen is cleansed and purified. Therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your tongue must remember Allah while you make ablution, so that the unseen is purified perfectly. Do not talk unnecessarily while making wudu. And what you think about while you're making wudu, those same types of thoughts will come to you while you're making salah. So if you remember Allah while you're making wudu, then definitely your concentration in salah will be better. There are certain adhkar, certain words of remembrance, prayers that have been taught to us by the Messenger, some of which has also been through the experience of the awliya, and all of that has been outlined for us. We should read this. So we must not only work towards gaining outward cleanliness, but also inward cleanliness. And this is by abiding towards us, by the sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding.